Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community. That's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Join us early on Monday, 7 p.m. for Keeping It Brief. Then come back later that evening at 10 and join Lu Yu as she delivers you into her Garden of Enlightenment and front page picks. Dig into the twisted thoughts of the Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays. Turn up the heat with the Art of Seduction on Wednesday. Thursdays are split between In Our Craft of Song Art with Scott Sharp and Pam and Double Helix with Aphasiana and Dan. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry. And Saturday is split with Gray Eyes Howling at the Moon with Dan in the Northern Climes and Exploring Ekphrasia with Captain B2 and Gray. And if you're looking for a little more edgy around, then please check out our After Midnight shows. 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Tuesday through Saturday mornings, come take a walk on the wild side Tuesday. Fridays are split between Echoes in the Dark and Break On Through with Pam, and Sit In with Asiana and Babbler on Saturday as they teach you the fine art of becoming part sinner, part saint. Check out the contests and prompts for all of our shows. Call us, read your poems, hang for the fun, and if you can do SoundClouds for us, please attach them to your poem because we'd like to hear you read your words in your voice. Good evening, Pam.
Good evening, Rex. How goes it?
All righty. What's doing?
Oh, just enjoying life. Of crazy weather as always, but at one point it was warm and sunny, and I got to go for a walk today, and then an hour after I got home, it was rain and hail, and, you know, looked like the end of the world was coming or something. But I got to say, I'm really looking forward to tonight's show. The music, the poetry, I mean, you know, Bob Marley is just awesome. So inspirational in his music and the messages that he spread. Very cool. Great choice. But why don't you go ahead and tell us a bit about good old Bob Marley?
Well, born February 6, 1945, in a little place called Nine Mile, Jamaica. We call little places, but you don't get real little until you actually look at what real little means. As of 2009, Nine Mile consisted of a population of 300 people. Bob formed his group in the early 60s with Peter Tosh and Bunny Wailer. They went through a number of changes in their name of their group. They were known as, let's see, where is it? I got it here. Now I've lost all this. Oh, they started out as the Wailing Rude Boys, then the Wailing Wailers, at which point somewhere down the line they cut it short to just the Wailers. That's how they started out as the Wailers. After the group broke up, Bob Marley kept the note of the Wailers, but put his name in front of Bob Marley and the Wailers, and he picked up a few extra bodies along the way because some of the original gang departed. He took up a Rastafari early on in the mid-60s. It's an Afrocentric culture based on Abrahamic religion. And in 1976, he was doing a concert for which was organized by the Prime Minister of Jamaica, one Manley. And a couple of days before the concert, which is in December, some assassins broke into his house and shot him, his wife, and another friend. Nobody ever really found out who did what to where, but they believed it was politically motivated because they were infighting with the groups back then, and some wanted Manley out, and the fact that Bob was actually doing this concert, they thought it was a promotional thought for Manley himself. So everybody's guess was that was the note for the targeting. Anyway, early 77, him and his wife, they moved to England for good because of that assassination attempt. And that's where he hit some of his most iconic music. 1974, he came out with I Shot the Sheriff, and a friend of Eric Clapton gave him the album thinking he'd enjoy it. And he came across that one song, which he in turn turned into a hit that he hadn't had in a few years since Layla back in about 1968, 69 or so. And Bob Marley enjoyed his rendition of it, but it chafed him for the fact that nobody was paying attention to his original song, I Shot the Sheriff. But he did well going on. Well, it did well going on forward. So What else we got here? Oh. Too much stuff I got. Well, he died in 1981. He had a melanoma, which started in his big toe, but because of his he was told to actually amputate the toe, and that would curb the infection going any further. But based on his religious values, he decided not to and left it going by practicing his religion. Later on, it moved up into his leg, and they wanted to amputate his leg. Again, he said no. By the end, come around 1981, he was still performing, and he went to Switzerland to look for alternative medicines to help himself out. By that time, it had already produced itself throughout his body and into his brain. So he decided to fly back to Jamaica. He died on the airplane going back home, and he is buried with along with his mother back in Nine Mile, and he does have a mausoleum back there along with his house. So he is still revered as the not the founder, but the one who actually helped take reggae mainstream, because he mixed in he was into his early life, he was into rhythm and blues, like rockabilly, you know, and he melded the forms together in pushing it forward, plus slowing down the tempo of the reggae sound initially to fit his style, his voice, and his vocals, and that helped push that forward. And people are in the business back then in late 60s, early 70s, saw him breaching that gap, making it, instead of going with the popular, you know, the pop angle, he could reach that, bridge that gap between rock and roll and reggae itself, and move himself into that realm, which he did, because he spoke across everything when it came to his beliefs, his thoughts to how the world works, how it should work, and what he wanted to see. And because of that, like John Lennon, you get targeted. So unfortunately,
That is sad. That's true.
He was 35 years old when he died.
Wow. Like you said, his ability to bring the reggae sound and, you know, mix it with other sounds and create something all his own, and to be such a great influence, not only in the musical world, but in the realm of spirituality and a message of love, hope, and peace. And even his own unique fashion became very influential to people. I mean, you know, the guy just really, I mean, his voice and his heart came through in his music. So really cool info there, Rex.
Well, that means the early boys, they had no music within their backgrounds. They were performing as a kind of doo-wop group, the original Wailers. So they got noticed, and the guy who noticed them taught Bob how to play guitar. And from there, other things were added in. You heard a little bit of sax in that one song, plus electric guitars. And he did take it a little further by adding those little nuances that he grew up with as far as listening to music itself.
That is really cool. Yeah, I was doing a little bit of reading up this past couple days about like different types of instruments used in reggae music, and you know, it just just interesting how they combine things, like a lot of different percussions, you know, even the cowbell is oftentimes used in reggae music.
Yep. And the thought with the saxophone and horns, there's a little bit of jazz in that.
Yeah.
Plus, you can hear the notes to blues, rhythm of blues. So, and there is a touch of jauntiness to some other songs that that hit on the angle of walking into the pop angle as well. So,
very cool. Well, like I said, I'm looking forward to the show, and I guess whenever you're ready, we can get the ball rolling.
Two more things. There is a new movie out. It's called One Love. I haven't seen it yet, but it's supposed to be pretty good. And not 10 minutes ago, I heard a dad joke on this very subject, which I find very convenient and funny in the moment. It was this girl offered up a joke. It's I named my printer Bob Marley, because it be jam.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yep, that was definitely good timing. So now this movie, though, is it coming out in theaters, or is it like going straight to like Prime Video, or where is it going, or like, you know, another network or something? Or streaming service?
Right now, so I'm guessing it's in theaters, but.
Okay.
Let's see. Yes, the movie just came out recently. What's it saying? Playing theaters, okay.
Okay. Very cool. Well, I would definitely like to see that. I'll have to check out some of the trailers on YouTube.
It opens, it premiered at the Caribbean 5 in Kingston, Jamaica on January 23rd. It hit the produced by released by Paramount Pictures on Valentine's Day of this year. So far, it's received mixed reviews from critics and has already grossed $146 million worldwide. So obviously, it is something everybody is getting into and looking at $146 million. That's not a mixed review from the audience that they're willing to go out and pay to see a movie about Bob Marley. So it's doing a lot
better than
some of the other movies that have come out the past 2 years that have been utter bombshells.
That is true. So I will probably wait until I can watch it at home, but I am looking forward to eventually seeing it. By the way, did you see Aaron said Rex breaking out dad jokes early? Boy, we're in for a wild night.
You've got a couple of producers in this, Sedalia Marley, Rita Marley, and Ziggy Marley as producers for this film. So it's within the Marley family that it was produced. So it's got to be their push to keeping it as real as possible.
Absolutely. Yeah, a few of his children, he had 11 children, and a few of them definitely followed in his footsteps with musical talent.
Well, so, all right, here you go. It's made $146 million. It cost it was a $70 million budget, so it's already walking its way through profitability.
All right. And the great thing is some of these people are younger, which I'm sure they are.
And that's with just, well, since January 23rd, you're looking at 6 weeks in the theaters.
Wow. That is impressive. That is very impressive. And a younger generation is going to get to learn about him, his music, and his messages. So very cool.
Well, all right, then. I guess we should move into things and see what we got rolling since we got some music.
All right.
Well,
I'm ready to get a moving and a grooving, and we'll start with the song One Love. So here we go.
Mm-hmm.
That worked out really well. Very cool. All right. Well, I got to actually go grab the poem. I went and grabbed the One Love flag to post and then forgot to go back and grab the poem. So give me a moment and let me do that. All right. And here we go. We have This is the way love is supposed to feel by Jenny the Deep. Butterflies tickle the inside of my stomach, fluttering vigorously like my flirtatious eyelids. Whenever you are in my presence, is this how love is supposed to feel? Didn't know what love was or how to heal, not until we met with your hand shaking mine. As we touch, sparks spread through my veins, surging from my wrist down to my yearning core. When I see you, I want you more and more. Yes, oh yes, this is love that I'm feeling. Never did I think I would believe in euphoria, but my gravitating body has proven otherwise. The pursuit of happiness is in my sights. I fight back tears and break barriers like a warrior. To be the woman you are proud to call yours. If you'll have me, I promise not to make you worry or cry. I'll be yours until all the stars fall out of the sky. With you here, I know everything will be all right. Yes, your love, oh yes, your love has the power of healing, and it is the only sensation ever worth feeling. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. Jenny hit on three songs out of this mix. That was Is This Love, One Love, and what was it? And Don't Worry, Be Happy. So I chose, considering she put the that note to Is This How Love Is Supposed to Feel up top? I figured, all right, we'll go with One Love just for the note of where to place it. But I did like the opening stretch in it. Butterflies tickle the inside of my stomach, fluttering vigorously like my flirtatious eyelids. Boy, does that offer up a view right in the moment. Whenever you are in my presence, is this how love is supposed to feel? That questioning note. But it does hit the idea of not feeling or being in that position before all of a sudden you're getting a little topsy-turvy on the stomach end, so you're questioning the idea of what's going on. Yes, but the flirtatious angle does open up that note of how women use their figurative balances to keep men off balance and get them to walk into that world of, welcome to my net, said the spider to the fly, so to speak. But this does walk the back end. I like the back end of this too. If you'll have me, I promise not to make you worry or cry. I'll be yours until all the stars fall out of the sky. With you here, I know everything will be all right. Yes, your love, oh yes, your love has the power of healing. It is only sensation ever worth feeling. So she brings it right back around from the fluttering angle into the notes of where it walks after that initial flurry of queasiness in the moment and happiness boiling to the surface, kind of settles in. All of a sudden, everything is all right, so to speak. Nicely done, Jen. All right, Pam, what about you?
Yep, those womanly wiles, got to watch out for them. You might end up tripping over them. But yeah, I like this. I like the emotional impact of it. And am I on mute? No, yeah. I'm not. Okay. Smart ass. Don't make me slap you upside the head with my womanly wiles. So there.
Well, according to you, right. that would be whoopage when it comes to the eyelashes.
Yep, probably. But, you know, I did like the question in the first stanza. Is this how love is supposed to feel? Because it's that whole idea of being someone who's never truly experienced this deep connection, this sensation of that, you know, electricity that flows between. And I like how it goes more and more into the sensuality. But then, as you were kind of saying, Rex, it becomes about that deeper connection. It becomes about that love that makes you feel safe and cherished and helps you to heal from the past. Really some wonderful lines all the way through. I did like, never did I think I would believe in euphoria, but my gravitating body has proven otherwise. And then I fight back tears and break barriers like a warrior to be the woman you are proud to call yours. Your love, oh yes, your love has the power of healing. And that's the beautiful thing is in a healthy relationship, two people can heal together and grow together. So amazing, right, and very well done.
Nice. Thank you, Pam. And hello to Quicken, Robbie, and Aaron's on the board. Thank you for joining us. And where do we go next?
Up next, and it is good to see them all in the group. Very cool. And up next, we have the song Redemption. And here we go.
Old pirate, yes, a rabbi, sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit, but my hands was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs. Redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. Oh, have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them are gonna stop at the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Yes, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had, redemption songs. All I ever had, redemption songs. These songs of freedom. Songs of freedom.
Yeah, that was a bit different. I think that the fact that it only ran as an acoustic number with the guitar as the musical note in choice.
Very cool. Was that a type of guitar that was making the kind of more like twangy sound within the, like the doing doing? I can't quite do it, but you know, it had a slightly higher sound.
Well, I think I think the opening notes were kind of, they sounded almost a little down-tuned, a little more deeper in note. The rest came across as properly tuned.
Okay. Very cool. And D.W. London says in LNP, emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. More people need to learn this. Absolutely. Amen to that.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, up first, inspired by that song, we have Write the Book by Guilty. And go ahead, please, Rex, and give that a read.
Write the Book by Guilty. Some say life is in the middle. The tide is not so high. Some say life is but a riddle. Time far too slow. Some spend all day reading scriptures and songs, blind to starving children, and wars going far too long, waiting for deliverance from up high, looking for answers until the day they die, waste precious living and their righteous gift, pray on their knees so long until they can no longer lift a hand to help their fellow man, lend an ear to understand a plight unlike their own, raise their voice with scorn, never pray forgiveness for their own wretched sin, the prophets they did not only write and read, the prophets they did not look to cheat and steal, They lived their lives in righteous example, not shun and hide in religious temples. Look to the book for the way, but do not forget that change comes from the mighty spirit. Write the next chapter by living for today. End poem. There you go.
I like it. Oh, I really liked this one. I think it was a great take on the chosen prompt. I like the Bible, not the Bible, sorry. I do like the Bible in some ways, but I like the title, Write the Book. The idea of, you know, writing your own book through your actions, through your, you know, decisions. But I like the general main message to me of this is, you know, there's nothing wrong with prayer. And part of this is my personal opinion, but it's also what I see in the poem, is that I greatly believe in the power of prayer and that it has its place. But more important is the power of action, you know, our ability to get out there and help those in need, or, you know, reach out even in kindness to our neighbors. It doesn't have to be, you know, help sent, you know, like across an ocean. It can be, you know, whatever you can do in your community. I really like where he says in the beginning, some spend all day reading scriptures and psalms, blind to starving children and wars going far too long. And the saddest part to me in that is blind to starving children. You know, why do we let the children suffer while we're busy putting on a show? And that was part of my comment was I said, you know, that charity, actions of kindness and charity speak more on our hearts than kneeling in a showmanship of prayer. I also liked where he said the prophets, they did not only write and read, the prophets did not look to cheat and steal. And I like that he offers up that reminder that many of the historical spiritual figures throughout different generations and different religions did not just, I mean, Mother Teresa, Gandhi, there, you know, some examples, did not just, you know, sit around praying. They were out there amongst the people. So this definitely had some powerful lines and very well done.
Nice. Thank you. This does, it walks twofold. It hits on the idea of the largesse of religion now and how it's used and abused rather than what it was meant for to begin. If I remember correctly, it was something about do not build an edifice unto me in which to honor me and my voice. That idea that religion itself once started in small communities. It was taught on a level around campfires with stories. It was taught on a level where it was community-based rather than hierarchically based. And that unfortunately is where we sit today. The hierarchical angle of large churches and how that hierarchy leads to the to those, as he puts it, never pray forgiveness for their own wretched sin. That idea of never looking past their own nose because they've got it good and they don't have to worry about anybody else except to offer up those words that they speak. Yes, they're not out in the fields. They're not out in the pastures. They're not out in the small villages where those words could best be used as well as all that money they're garnering. So the idea of what he's offering up is saying, hey, we need to get back to those small arenas once more where people could feel the notes of those values. And those prayers were answered in and of themselves because they were part of one and everything. And the prayers they offered up top came to them fourfold in return because they were of themselves and to themselves. So I like that, Yoki. Nicely done. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, we're back to you.
All right. Well, up next we have Marley's Haunting Ghost by Garanwy. seeking broken time in redemptions of recall, hung on memory palace walls, sold in rhythm's freedom, catching prophecy in sounds of ticking clocks, singing songs of mercy from books of words and parables of the Lord. No one can steal our faith in freedom songs to consecrate our God in a ganja communion of becoming oneself as a supplicant's belief, finding freedom for the mind, escaping the pit of darkness and despair in a triumph of your will over mental slavery, stolen from in sugar cane, left behind in reggae beats, playing freedom's emancipations of guitars. Take the message to the streets, wearing your dreadlocks of belief. End poem.
Great read, Ann. Thank you very much. I like that opening note, Marley's haunting ghost, the question mark. Maybe not the haunting ghost, maybe the ghost that still lives because there's quite a bit of power in his voice and the words offered on those notes of freedom, especially with that idea of mental slavery being the easy preparatory word that everyone can actually, because for the most part, we are kept mentally enslaved. It doesn't take a genius to figure that out or how we are manipulated into walking one way or another because of how things are delivered through us, to us, and how they unfold us within that note, especially since for the last 20-odd years since the internet has come on board, but it also has opened up that note to finding this type of music a hell of a lot more easily, as well as the voice and the message that comes with it. So the haunting ghost, it might be that note to what is left when it comes to the hierarchy and the fact that this is an easily found item and theme, as well as delivering people from that mental slavery because of the voice that is breathed through these songs. So that haunting ghost might be to the upper echelon, which really does not want to give up what they've attained, amassed, and still come bare to breast that they want to keep. So I like it. Thank you, Bronwyn. And Pam?
Yeah, this is another one that's a great take on the prompt. I like that title with the question and how there's that duality to it. You know, how you think of Dickinson's A Christmas Carol, but it does also make me think about that idea of the impressions that Bob Marley has left behind, even decades after his death, you know, how he has become so influential over the years. I really like how this, you know, is almost like a call to arms, not like, you know, actually pick up the guns arm, but a call to stand up, to speak up for yourself, to speak up to your freedom. You know, I really like where he says, no one can steal our faith in freedom songs to consecrate our God in a ganja communion of becoming oneself as a supplicant's belief. Bob Marley was a big advocate for the use of marijuana for both spiritual and medical reasons. And I thought really altogether this was just a wonderful tribute to Bob Marley and his message of love, peace, and personal freedom. I also like where he says, in a triumph of your will over mental slavery, stolen from in sugarcane, left behind in reggae beats, playing freedom. I like that he brings up the sugarcane because I think that's, if I remember right, a main crop of Jamaica. And so it's kind of like the idea, to me anyway, is of Bob Marley's journey from his roots to reaching out to the world with his music. So great write and very well done.
Yeah, and his voice in these songs might be more apparent now than ever before since there is an uprising from peoples across the world because of how they're being treated, what they're being told they can and cannot do according to their masters, so to speak. And the idea of, hey, we've had enough. It's time for a change. We want more of what we're supposed to have rather than you taking everything from us.
Absolutely.
All right. What we got next?
Up next, we have Redeemed by Jody Melton. And go ahead, please, Rex, and give that a read.
Damn. All right. Jody dropped this on the board a couple hours ago, so nicely. Redeemed by Jody Melton. In the echoes of a freedom song, beneath the boundless sky so wide, lies a tale of chains undone, where courage and redemption reside. From the depths of despair, where shadows dwell and spirits wane, emerges a voice, a beacon of hope, breaking free from the unseen chain. With every strum of the weary guitar, in each note a story unfolds, a battle fought within the soul of the fiery spirit that never molds. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery, the melody implores. None but ourselves can free our minds and allow for the opening of new doors. In the heart of the night, under the watchful gaze of the stars above, whispers of freedom stir, swirling in the air, capturing the hearts and minds of all who were there. The song of redemption, a lullaby to the oppressed, a battle cry to the brave, a reminder that in the depths of darkness, there is always a soul needing to be saved. The chords resonate, a symphony of liberation, transcending time and space, each verse a testament to resilience, to the enduring humanity of those who show empathy and grace. For in the essence of this redemption song lies the power to transcend and show the way to rise above the sorrow and pass faith and hope to the generations of tomorrow. So let the melody guide you through the darkest of the nights. Let the words be your compass, leading you back to the brilliance of the light. In the silence that follows the final chord, as the echoes slowly fade, the song of redemption lingers on in the hearts of those in serenades. A hymn of hope, a legacy of love, a beacon shining ever bright, guiding us toward freedom through the courage to change and make this world's wrongs right. End poem. Yeah. Another one rolling on that note. Quite well. All right, Beth.
I liked it. Well, great read there, Rex. I have to say, this had a wonderful lyrical quality to it. You know, the rhythm, I mean, it obviously wasn't a parody, but there was something in the rhythm of it that really lent itself well to the kind of reggae sound, at least in the way that I was listening to it as you were reading. I really like how, again, he pays tribute to Bob Marley, and specifically to the song that he was inspired by, the Redemption song, and the idea of the message within it. You know, emancipate yourself from mental slavery, the melody implores. None but ourselves can free our minds and allow for the opening of new doors. The song of redemption, a lullaby to the oppressed, a battle cry to the brave, a reminder that in the depths of darkness, there's always a soul needing to be saved. And I like how he offers up that idea that within the chords of the song and within the lyrics of the song, there's a message for everyone, no matter what part of their life they are in. A hymn of hope, a legacy of love, a beacon shining ever bright, guiding us towards freedom through the courage to change and make this world's wrongs right. And, you know, I love those lines. And I love, though, that this song, not this song, but this poem speaks to a collective, but it also speaks to each individual and says, you know, stand up, get started wherever you are in life. Move forward and you know, be that change, be that message of hope and love. So wonderful write by Jody and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. I think the first seven stanzas are written on the song itself, because he digs a little deeper into the voice and the song and helps widen it a bit more. And the last four are that note of resonance and maybe a touch of for in the essence of this redemption song, lies the power to transcend and show the way. So let the melody guide you through the darkest of the nights, in the silence that follows the final chord, as the echoes slowly fade, a hymn of hope, a legacy of love, a beacon shining ever bright, guiding us towards freedom. The idea of the last four stanzas is giving props in the moment to the song, while the first seven dip into the song and offer up a little bit more behind each and every word, helping give the reader a little touch of something beneath it, like with every strum of the weary guitar, in each note a story unfolds, a battle fought within the soul of the fiery spirit that never molds. In the heat of the night, under the watchful gaze of the stars above, whispers of freedom stir, swirling in the air, catching the hearts and minds of all who were there. That kind of hits me with the note of that it was called the Free Jamaica Concert back in 1976. There was 80,000 people there for that concert in December of 76. So nicely done, Jody. And thank you very much for dropping this on the back end. Thank you. All right, Pam.
All right. Well, the next song we're going to play it's going to be Everything's Going to Be All Right. Let me find it. There we go. Here we go.
About a thing, worry about rough things, 'cause every little thing
songs along with jamming. So what have we got with this one?
All right. Well, to go with that groovy tune, we have Gestalt Psychology Sings by Eric Svensson, of course, who was nice enough to supply us with a SoundCloud. So here we go.
Gestalt Psychology Sings. Welcome to multidimensionality. The whole is greater than the sum of parts. Zone into Bob Marley. Gestalt Psychology Sings. Brings a much needed message in these pressure cooker times. Singing, don't worry about a thing. Everything's gonna be all right. No silver spoon boon, ears on the ground, bare feet before the burning bush, mystic lyricism with Pan-African political consciousness, Jah revered as the whole, greater than the sum of parts, one of the 12 tribes, spirit of Ubuntu, I am because you are. Singing, don't worry about a thing. Everything's gonna be all right. Gestalt Psychology Sings brings a new awareness. Invisible yet tangible strings attach. Hook into our solar plexus. Of course, we're not marionettes, puppets on a string controlled by greater forces. Unlike subliminal messages in music, unheard but cognitively assimilated, we instinctively know pain and suffering in all cultures is alleviated through music. Legendary, gentle, stoic sentience of Rastafarian folks ignites my soul. End poem.
Great read, Eric. Thank you for the SoundCloud. Very much appreciated. All right, Pam, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I do have to say I like that he put a Bob Marley quote attached to his poem, which is one of my favorites. One good thing about music, when it hits you, you feel no pain. And I like that. And as always, you know, Eric just has the most brilliant imagery and metaphors, clever wordplay. I like how he combines the idea of the Rastafarian and, you know, African religion and African spiritualism and the idea that we're all connected, and then brings in the Gestalt psychology, which, you know, I was reading up on earlier, is that idea of how the human mind perceives things in patterns or as separate parts rather than a whole. And I like that there's this combination of ideas that we can see things both as a whole and as an individual. I do also like how, to me, this speaks, it's a very spiritual rite that to me speaks on that connection of humanity within the vibes of music. I really like especially no silver spoon boon, ears on the ground, bare feet before the burning bush, mystic lyricism within Pan-African political consciousness, Jah revered as the whole, greater than the sum of parts, one of the 12 tribes, spirit of Ubuntu, I am because you are, singing, don't worry about a thing, everything's going to be all right. That comfort we find within the music and the spirituality we find within the music and the movement and the idea of a nation that is filled with a political consciousness because of the political turmoil that it goes through. Just an amazing rite and very well done.
Nice. Thank you, Pam. I like that opening of Zoning to Bob Marley. Gestalt psychology sings, brings a much needed message in these pressure cooker times, saying, don't worry about a thing. Everything's going to be all right. Nice touch there. He always brings in a lot of thought within his rites, especially that dancer. No silver spoon boon, ears on the ground, bare feet before the burning bush, mystic lyricism within Pan-African political consciousness, Jah revered as the whole, greater than the sum of parts, one of the 12 tribes, spirit of Ubuntu, I am because you are, singing, don't worry about a thing, everything's going to be all right. That note to Jah is the one God under Rastafarianism, the belief in that in us there resides a part of that God that is what we pray to. And one of the 12 tribes, a note to Abraham, and the spirit of Ubuntu is that that quality that includes the essential human virtues, compassion, and humanity, that which is things about in coming together, one love. The note to getting back to a simpler version of ourselves rather than how things have progressed. And Eric does get on that note of the Gestalt psychology things. There is that note in that, not just to the thought of Bob's music, but he also hits on the idea of unlike subliminal message in music, the idea of what those who want to use music in another way to promote something else other than what we should be using music for in the first place. It has always been that note that settles in a level that they can actually rally around a singularity. The note music, breaking bread across the table, sitting down and talking and enjoying company. So this all walks within that note, especially the thought of, of course, we're not marionettes, puppets on a string controlled by greater forces. We can be. The idea is don't walk that way, because if you allow that control to walk its notes, then you will be forever stuck within that, and that's where that subliminal messaging works its best. So nicely done, Eric. Thank you very much. All right, Pam.
All right. Well, up next we have the song Jammin'. So here we go.
Jamming was a thing of the past.
There's the printer.
Awesome. Very groovy. I don't know if you saw earlier, but at the beginning of the show, DW happened to mention in LNT that him and his friends used to play the jammin' drinking game. And every time Bob Marley said jammin', you had to take a shot. And
yeah,
so the song started. Yeah, okay. Oh, my gosh. That's so funny. Can you imagine, like, DW just said you wouldn't have enough shot glasses for it, and Aaron said, forget the shots, just swig from the bottle. Man, we would all be, oh, a swig. Okay, not a shot, a swig. See, I just figured you all take shots every time he said jamming. Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine how drunk we'd all be if we just all decided every time he said jamming in that song, we took a drink?
there are plenty of games where you've got to do that. You got to slam that shot once you hear a particular word. So,
yep.
Seen it, not me.
There's this one drinking game. I don't know if you ever played it, but there was this one. Oops, sorry. Go ahead.
The trick is doing those shots in swamp juice.
Oh, yes. Yeah, some of those hit the gut hard. That's for sure. That's for sure. And, yep. But there used to be this one drinking game called Asshole. And I don't know, I can't remember all the words to it, and probably for a rules to it. Swamp juice, by the way, DW, is basically just the cheap booze. It's like the gut rot stuff.
No. You got to go further. Swamp juice is what we used to make in Florida. We'd get a 10-gallon garbage can, put a bag in it, and we'd have a big party. Everybody would bring something in the way of booze. All the booze.
Oh, okay.
It didn't matter what it was. Gin, vodka, bourbon, scotch, whatever. It all went into the garbage can. We mixed it with Kool-Aid and some other juices and water. And then you put in melon balls. So watermelon, cantaloupe, honeydew. That would be for the next day. So we'd all drink the 10-gallon garbage can of juice, booze. And the next day, we get stoned again by eating up the melon balls.
You know, I don't think we ever called it that, but I have, in my much, much younger years, been to parties where we did something similar. For some reason, we just come up with some absolutely just bizarre and horrendous stuff when it comes to drinking in our youth. But, oh, goodness gracious. Yep. Crazy stuff. All right. Well, the first poem we have inspired by that song is To Tomorrow by Jim Bellamy. And go ahead, please, Rex, and give that a read.
All right, to tomorrow, by Jim Bellamy. To tomorrow, to tomorrow. Fight the sorrow, fight the sorrow. To tomorrow, to tomorrow. Rend the sorrow, shun the sorrow. The sun is booming eastern. It bears no place for hero dreams. Best greet the summer western, or else live on in Herod's screams. Don't tell me of your peacedom, nor ravel with the whores. To tomorrow, to tomorrow. Go greet your child outdoors. The world is growing ancient. Baby, do not live for none. The world is growing ancient. Lady, no time for horizon. They hand you bags of silver. They lend you bags of gold. Best greet the morning sun. Best get out before you're old. To tomorrow. To tomorrow. Fight the sorrow. Fight the sorrow. To tomorrow. Rend the sorrow. Do not follow. Love the end. Always did. Love the end since we were kids. La 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 la. Get out of town, make things good. Get out of this goddamn town. Thrallway, hallway, gold, gold, thrallway, crawlway, burning gold. The sun is real, is Wheel of Deal, Throwaway Hallway, Molten Gold, The Sun, The Moon, The Mill of Love, The Sun, The Moon, The Blasted Bud, Throwaway Hallway, Gold, Gold, Throwaway, Crawlway, Burning Gold, Hold the Moon, Cold the Way, Furl the Moon, The Womb, Gold the Way, Throwaway Hallway, Gold, Gold, Throwaway, Crawlway, Burning World. Goodbye, no thank you, I can make it alone. Goodbye, no thank you, the sun is worn to the bone. Goodbye, no thank you, I can make it alone. Sidewalk stone, the moon is real and the sun behind. I do not care for the men in the mind. I cannot listen and I cannot pray. Lady stray, do not stay. Goodbye, no thank you, I can make my own, I can make alone. Goodbye, no thank you, the sun is worn to the bone. Goodbye, no thank you, I can make it alone. Sidewalk stone, the summer moves and the moon divides. No time for peace that they advise. I cannot listen and I cannot pray. Lady stray, stray today. Goodbye, 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 goodbye. No time left to ask me why. Goodbye, 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 goodbye. This is the last goodbye. And boom.
Great read there, Wes. Yeah, wonderful read there. Not easy to do considering the amount of repetition, but I did like how the repetition kind of added a lyrical quality plus an intensity to the write. As always, he's got wonderful thought-provoking imagery throughout, clever wordplay. The main message that I got from this song was it's almost like an end of the world, like the mention of the Whore of Babylon makes me think of the end of the world. And it also makes me think of saying goodbye to a world that's falling apart. And there was two different lines of thought I had with that. That one, it's the idea of someone choosing suicide, dying in their own, on their own terms. But there was also something within the goodbye, with goodbye, 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 you know, at the end with the extra goodbye, that kind of made me think of the idea of somebody being out in space and sending a message back to a dying world. It actually kind of made me think of that one David Bowie song where he sings about being an astronaut, being a space explorer. Yes, for some reason. I don't know how I thought that. Yep, that's the song. That is the song, but for some reason that thought popped into my head as you were reading the end line. And then they hand you bags of silver, they lend you bags of gold. I like how the bags of silver are references to Judas's betrayal of Christ, and the bags of gold are references to anybody who nowadays who is easily bought off because of personal greed. I also really liked where he said, the sun, the moon, the mill of love, the sun, the moon, the blasted bud, throwaway hallway, gold, gold, throwaway crawlway, burning gold, old the moon. The thought that there's so much out there that looks like gold, and we have this desire for it. We have this hunger to gain these riches only to realize how much of it is false riches. So amazing write and very well done.
Nice, I like that. I did get the same vibe on that, bags of silver and bags of gold. But funny too, that thought you were throwaway hallway, gold, gold, throwaway crawlway, burning gold, the sun is real, his wheeler dealer, throwaway hallway, rotten, molten gold, the sun, the moon, the mill of love, the sun, the moon, the blasted bud. I like that run right there, that the Egypt, the notes of gold and their heavy use of it was that reminder of what the sun was. It gives life. It is that note to where everything comes from and depends upon. But it does hit on that with the silver and the gold being used in different ways. what was kind of that note to how it has bared itself since then as that that necessity that everybody crawls to. But this kind of hits me with the idea of we've forgotten what life is really all about in the first place, that sun that opens up everything to the possibilities and gives life to everything, including the food that is eaten by everything, and the moon, that counterpart, that noted cooling off in the evening, which offers up the back end of life, the peace at the evening that allows one to sleep. And this kind of hits with the idea also with the kids angle, losing love the end, always did love the end since we were kids. The idea of that youthful vigor and vim, wonder and awe that we used to hold, it usually gets bled out of us as we age, go through life, because everything offers up its transgressions, its hardness, and we get buried away from the thought that, you know what, you still got to hold a little bit of that within you in order to keep the keep yourself within sanity, so to speak. So thank you, Jim.
Yeah. I like that. I like that. Very cool. All right. Yeah. Well, the next poem we have is mine, inspired by that song. And I was trying something a little different, so we'll see how this goes. It is Na Cram De Jam, Let The Flow Be Smooth. And I was nice enough to supply us with a SoundCloud. So
that's because you didn't want to tongue over your feet, so to say.
Exactly. I probably did somewhere in the SoundCloud, but not as bad as I probably would have in person. So, here we go.
Na cram de jam, let de flow be smooth. Me wa fee spread de jam sticky sweet. Feel de rhythm in a me soul and me feet. Move to de groove of peace and love. Honor de spirit from up above. Feel de reggae beat and know your own worth. Let your soul bubble with laughter and mirth. Find your own path, your true destiny. The timber of timbales setting you free. Na cram de jam, me brother. Na cram de jam, me sister. Na bury yourself in the sand like a clam. Let your voice be here, grandmother. Let your song be sung, grandfather. Come, we get together and feel divide. People and nature, walla one tribe. Let the music over ya soothing flow. Dis a feed the soul and not just feed show. The sun a wa blessing and the rain too. Me hear the music of the red bud and the one that blew. The bass guitar, the reggae heartbeat. Bright colored flowers dancing in the street. Na cram de jam, me brother. Na cram de jam, me sister. Na bury yourself in the sand like a clam. Let your voice be here, grandmother. Let your song be sung, grandfather. Me wa love that more than physical. Make it musical, make it spiritual. Touch me mind like the moon touches the waves. Shape me and spin me like me neck of soft clay. Me want to climb the holy mountain and be the burning flame. Me want to be a wild child, na mild and tame. Me want to dance naked beneath the stars, seeing the beauty in our imperfections and scars. Come with all, dig in some introspection. Let the tambourine be fee with zeal's reflection. Let the notes flow like honey and cream. Rebels and lovers revealing the Rastafarian dream. Na cram de jam, me brother. Na cram de jam, me sister. Now bury yourself in the sand like a clam. Let your voice be here, grandmother. Let your song be sung, grandfather. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thanks for the background. Very much appreciated. And well, your ending came out as the real. You should have kept that rhythm flowing. And now we know why you did the SoundCloud. Yeah, you wouldn't have been able to keep this up throughout the a read in live.
Yeah, exactly.
Something would have took you off the edge of reading this the way you wanted to if you'd done this live. So yes, the proper angle was doing a SoundCloud, because then you could actually sit back, listen to how you wanted to pronounce the verse itself from listening to Marley, and get into that mode and the angle you want to draw, which you did. You did well. And I got Aaron hit that, a Jamaican shaman he becomes. So he got a laugh out of that. I thought that was good. And
The chicken did say I reminded him of the Warcraft trolls. So I don't know.
Okay. I've never seen a Warcraft show, so I never played those games.
Neither have I, but...
Damn. All right. This works exactly for what you dug into it for, jamming on a different level and reading it in a very unfamiliar territory and one is not used to. That's not an easy thing.
No, it was my first attempt at writing in this style using the Jamaican, I forget what it's technically called, there's a name for it, but it's basically like a slang, because while it has some of its own words, a lot of it is English words just phonetically changed.
And vernacular.
Vernacular, yes. Yes.
Vernacular of dispute. Kind of like what you get with coffee in Britain.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you for the inspiration.
Not a question, though. How long did this actually take you to record? And how many times?
Surprisingly, it only took me 4 times.
Okay.
You know, and I could have done it again, you know, and really perfected it, but it took me 4 times. You know, I can't remember what poem it was recently, but I had one poem where I just kept tripping over myself, because I know what you mean. There was one I did like 12 tries, and I was finally at the 12th one. I was like, I don't care if there's any mistakes. I'm just, screw it. But,
It seems that everybody's in agreement on World of Warcraft, from Dan to Quicken to Robbie, and they're all hitting on the troll angle, and, you're the king? But I didn't vote for you.
Well, now out of curiosity, obviously not during the show, I am going to have to go on to YouTube and I'm going to have to listen to the War of Worldcraft or whatever it's called, World of Warcraft or whatever on YouTube or something.
It's a game.
Oh, my gosh. I'm just laughing, sorry. All right, so the next song we have up, or we're going to play, is Natural Mystic. All right, so let's find that. And here we go. Thank you.
I like that song. And that was the one that got the most.
I like that one. I like that one. Very cool. And the first one poem we have inspired by that is Burger and Fries by Ed Hunter. And go ahead, please, Rex, and give that a read.
Burger and Fries by Ed Hunter. Got get high, dancing in our minds, dancing in our minds. Lovely women, oh, the lovely women, can't wait to be dancing so I can go prancing. A doobie here, a doobie there, a doobie we share. Rock lobster, down, down and down. It wasn't a rock, it's a rock lobster, so high, so high. Heaven, oh, the heaven, can't wait for the dancing, the women look like heaven. Stopping at a light, smiling at the people, my body takes flight. Smiling at the cars, green light, yellow light, red light, stop. Laughing and joking, smiling at the people, a little bit of choking. Green light, yellow light, red light, stop. Damn, this car in front of us won't move on. Come on, let's go, come on. Green light, yellow light, red light, stop. Finally, the car in front moves. It was parked by the curb. All this time, we had no clue. Got get high. We get moving. Can't wait for the grooving. With my new dancing shoes, they shine like the moon. Oh, my God. The place is closed. We got hosed. Oh, well. Let's get a burger and fries. Who's going to know? At least we tried. And poem.
Oh, that's great. Sorry. this one just cracked me up, and you did such a great read of it. There's something so just very almost Dr. Seuss-like about it, even though it's not an exact Seussian rhyme, but just the use of repetition and the crazy imagery. And I really thought it was just groovy. It's like a doobie here, a doobie there, a doobie we share, rock lobster. Like, I just love the catchy beat that this had. And the fact that it was, a true story. And all the way through, it's so catchy. But then when he gets to the end and says, OMG, the place is closed. We got hosed. Oh, well, let's get a burger and fries. Who's going to know? At least we try. You could just imagine going on this road trip and the disappointment of the you know, the craving you had from smoking the ganja and, you know, hoping that this one place is going to be open, and then the whole laid back, oh, well, you know, we'll just go with the burger and fries. But definitely a very cool write with great humor and very well done.
Absolutely. And that picture of Cheech and Chong, considering that was their era, all their movies that came out during the late 70s, oh, some fun movies. And the scenery of the car rolling down the road and streaming nothing but smoke. And then that one they made, I think it was called Still Smoking, they made a delivery van out of weed, which caught fire. And everybody was getting stoned as they drove around. You're talking about a but this does hit on that, and especially at the angle of, where was it? Damn, this car in front of us won't move. Come on, let's go, come on. Finally, the car in front moves. It was parked by the curb all this time. We had no clue. Yes, that does hit on those days when you had a bit too much to smoke and you got nothing in the house to eat and you're hungry as hell. You got the munchies. And still, you forgot to drive in the first place. that does drive the hit on the note of, oh, man, maybe we've had a bit too much and we don't need to really go anywhere. I'm hungry. We're going. And then getting there too late. Reminds me of my very first job. I worked at a Jack in a Box on Long Island. I worked a graveyard shift. Boy, did we get the people at 3 a.m. for food after the bars are closed. God damn.
I can imagine. Well, yeah, because we have I don't know if you have around in that part, but Perkins restaurants. Like, we used to always go to Perkins restaurants after drinking. So at, like, you know, 3 a.m., you get some crazy people in there.
Well, we had the busiest Jack in the Box in the tri-state area. In 1973, we were doing $25,000 a week in 25-cent burgers. I think the
cheeseburgers
were like 30 cents. The tacos were 39 cents. French fries were like 15 or 20 cents. Cokes were like 10, 15 cents for a cup. So the stuff was cheap, and we were banging it out.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
Now, we got some of those idiots that came in. Hey, they get nasty. They want extra sauce on their Big Jacks. We used to scoop out the tops of the buns and fill it. Wait for them to take that bite and dribble down their chins.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. What we got next?
We have A Cat's Pavane, number 27, by Jack Blue. Roaming idly through the attic, I found a shadow or a mystic and almost caught the silhouette or something like a fuzzy set before it staggered on my hand to be back to no one's land. Honestly, I didn't panic when I saw it as a mystic drifting down my silly sight like a kitten on the kite. As if to challenge everything I'd been just imagining, the fantasy was so titanic, I didn't feel it like a mystic, but heard a hymn of childhood or a chant of witch's wood along the sheer reality inspired by a cup of tea bouncing all around the attic on the mercy of the mystic. I saw the ladybug, my friend, a kind of genius to commend, posing on the moonlit tree or sending shadows magically. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you. I know Jack rolls in those notes of magic, that little world he walks in with these lights, and it works well on that level. You go to the attic, you find those little tidbits that remind you of something from long ago, and you're lost in the moment. But this also works for the other angle, going towards the song itself, because well, the attic, if you want to party, attic's a great place, because you know, smoke rises, so can't let folks know what we're doing, so we'll party in the attic, so to speak. so that angle works. But he hits on that note of two. What was it? Roaming idly through the attic, I found a shadow or a mystic, and almost caught the silhouette of something like a fuzzy set before it staggered on my hand to be back to no one's thing. There is a kind of note of a little trippy angle there. And a silly sight like a kitten on a kite. I like that too. And what's it? Chances of witches wood along the sheer reality, inspired by a cup of tea. A cup of tea is also another angle for weed, tea, for the chemical compound that gets you stoned. And what else we got here? Posing on the moonlit tree or sending shadows magic. Posing on the moonlit tree kind of hits the idea of being so high, people actually kind of pose you in a motif that's they take comical pictures of and have a bit of fun with you later. You see what you did? Well, look at this. All right, what about you?
I like that. Yeah, a whole tripping on something, that's for sure. I like how, first of all, this poem speaks on changing perspective, you know, changing perspective when we go into a darker place, you know, like into an attic where you store everything and maybe the lighting isn't as good. So there is that changing of perspective, but also the idea that our perspective changes as we get older. And I liked how there was this message that the moonlit stories of childhood, the fantasies of childhood, become the mystics of our grown spirits. You know, wonderful lines all the way through. I did really like where he said, honestly, I didn't panic when I saw it as a mystic drifting down my silly sight like a kitten on the kite, as if to challenge everything I'd been just imagining. You know, because sometimes the imagining mind, especially as if you were saying somebody's tripping, you know, can probably be a bit of a scary thing, but you know, the idea of embracing one's visions that they see within the moment. I like that. So very cool and very well done.
All right. Where are we going next?
Up next, we have Mystical Breeze, Yaman, by J.A. Knight. And go ahead, please, Rex, and give that a read.
Mystical Breeze, Yaman, by J.A. Nuss. He asked the hard questions, searching for the truth, forever seeking answers, blowing in the wind, from the misty mountains to the shores of azure seas. All he wanted for people was peace. But there's no going back, can't change the way things were. Once you've heard the first trumpet, you know you'll hear the last. Too late then to change the past. You'll have to stand up now if you want to change your world. Let me tell you the truth, my friend. The answer lies where it's always been. Just like the natural mystic said, it's in the air. It's blown in the wind. End poem. All right. What do you got?
Great read there, Rex. I was muted, yes. And I knew exactly where the mute button was, but my phone wasn't letting me see it. So, yeah, that's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it. But, yeah, this is wonderful, wonderful. I was hoping with that title, Yaman, that there was going to be a little bit of the whole, you know, Jamaican vibe going on. But, you know, I still really like this because it pays tribute to Bob Marley. It's a great reminder that change happens when we stand up and take action. At least that's, you know, what I get from this, right? And I like the opening line of, he asked the hard questions, searching for the truth, forever seeking answers. And while that, you know, pays tribute to Bob Marley, it's also a great reminder that we all need to do that. We can't sit back and just, you know, accept everything that we hear or everything that we read. We need to ask those hard questions. And I also like, once you've heard the first trumpet, you know you'll hear the last too late than to change the past. You know, don't get to the end of your life and regret the action that you didn't take. So amazing, right? And very well done.
Thank you, Pam. All right. I feel like that second stanza hit the right note. But once you've heard that first trumpet, it does hit on that angle, the signaling of the end to come, end time, so to speak. Or actually, maybe not just the end time. The speak of the apocalypse isn't about death and destruction. The apocalypse actually means the unveiling, taking the veil that keeps the world blind and opening it up to the light out of darkness. I like that note there at the last, and too late then to change the past. But he also does a double dip here. He not only honors Bob Marley with this, but he throws in a touch of Bob Dylan, the note to Blowing in the Wind, that he repeated twice. If I remember correctly, Bob Dylan appreciated Bob Marley because he put out the very same kinds of messages within the songs and music that Dylan was putting out, stories, the things that were going on in and around themselves during those times. So, well done, J.A. Thank you. All right.
Absolutely. All right. The next song we have up is This Love.
Hey, wait a minute. You got one more piece in there.
Oh, good. You're right. Sorry, didn't mean to swear. You are right. I apologize for that. All right. All right. This is It Was a Dream by Gayatri Krishnamurti. I saw it in my dream. I saw it. I saw it in my dream. I was flying. Wait, is this my turn to read? Didn't I read the last? No, you did read the last one. It is. I'm sorry. It's so confused. I saw it in my dream. I saw it. I saw it in my dream. I was flying light like a feather in the sky, like a feather in the sky, in the sky, in the sky. I flew into the clouds. I flew into the fluff of clouds. Fluff of clouds in the sky. Fluff of clouds. Fluff of white clouds in the sky. Fluff of white, snowy white. Feather light, feather light. No love or hate, no peace or fate. No flesh or meat. Feather light, feather light. I flew into the sky, into the sky, into a clear sky. I saw it, saw it in my dream. I think they were smoking some really good stuff.
This is something different, but I like this. I got a double thought out of this. The note to a feather reminds me of how the Egyptians passed on their people from either going to the higher realm or staying where they were, so to speak. That note to the scales, they put the feather on the scales. If your heart weighed the same as the feather on the scales, they balanced, then you were truly divine enough to move on, ascend, so to speak. That's what that feather angle gave to me as far as being light as a feather. that note to freedom in the heart, a good in the soul, that note to everybody being on that level, that they can actually be that light when it comes to the end of things, so to speak, and everyone falls into that note of being able to soar on a different note. And those clouds, the fluffy clouds, they all offer up that note of the harp singing angel, so to speak, that note of being lighter than air itself. So I like that, and it was as being a dream. I like that note too. So thank you, Gaia, Gayatri Krishnamurti. All right, Pam.
Yeah, I like this too. I love the whole delightful imagery, the soft and airy flow. I like how they write about the journey within the dreaming mind, but also escaping the weight of this world. You know, that whole idea of just escaping. And I really like where they say, no love or hate, no peace or fate, no flesh or meat, feather light, wonderful lines and very well done.
All right. What do we got now?
All right. Well, since we have 9 minutes left, I'm going to skip the last two songs and just do the rites, especially considering that the last rite is right around 3 minutes. So up next, we have Meditating Your Love by Lockdown Larks. And go ahead, please, and give that a read. Rest.
Meditating Your Love by Lockdown Larks. In the chaos, we stand alone unless we sing the heartbeat song. Unite and respect is the backbone, shield us from those who do us wrong. Ganja swirling in the air, keep meditating your love, Rasta Kala everywhere, and we can rise above. In this love, whispering affection, in every chord and every line, don't need no mirror reflection, we know our hearts are beating fine. Ganja swirling in the air, keep meditating your love, Rasta Kala everywhere, and we can rise above. Don't just sit there waiting in vain, too soon mists of time swallow you. Gotta get on and ride this train. Together we'll get the harmony view. Ganja swirling in the air. Keep meditating your love. Rasta Kala everywhere, and we can rise above. And when the sun is shining, kiss the earth, don't forsake. Humanity can be a silver lining. In it we all have a stake. Keep meditating your love, and we can rise above. Yeah, keep meditating your love, and we will rise above. And boom. Aha.
Great read there, Rex. This is a great one for the show. Wonderful lyrics written here. A great tribute to Bob Marley and his spirit. I really like the ganja swirling in the air, keep meditating your love, Rasta color everywhere, and we can rise above. And I also like, and when the sun is shining, kiss the earth, don't forsake. Humanity can be a silver lining. In it, we all have a stake. And I like how that reminds us that we all have a part to play in making the world a better place. So amazing write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And yes, everybody can use a little 420. Get down and relax. In this love whisper and affection, in every chord and every line, don't need no mirror reflection to know our hearts are beating fine. Nice essence of relaxation in the moment. I'm not today. And then don't sit there waiting in vain. Too soon, miss the time, swallow you. Got to get on and ride this train. Together, we'll get the harmony view. I like that note, too, the idea of coming together as a singularity to push forth change for a better place, as well as kiss the earth, don't forsake, humanity can be a silver lining. In it, we all have a stake, and there's a whole lot of truth in that. And I did like the his refrain, the ganja swirling in the air, keep meditating your love, Rastakala everywhere, and we can rise above. Yes. Thank you, Lars. All right.
All right. Our last poem for the night is The Story of a Youthful Misadventure by D.W. London. And he was nice enough to supply us with a SoundCloud. So here we go.
Story of Youthful Misadventure by D.W. London. I took ecstasy, LSD, weed, and speed for energy. A brain-changing symmetry. Contamination by way of hedonistic dissipation causing crazy hallucinations. It was an indifferent disassociation from the normal rationalization that usually forms my persona, almost inducing coma. Overdosing with style, or so I thought. I talked the talk, but somehow failed to walk. High as the proverbial kite, one British winter's night, raving, blazing, feeling amazing. Sorry if I'm paraphrasing. The venue was secret and remote, somewhere down by the coast. A warehouse and part al fresco, pumping out loud hardcore techno. Handfuls of cheap little white thrills, I called my goodnight pills. Laughing in the face of abstention, losing the plot with utter intention, blatantly but yet complacently abusing my body, feeling alive, the opposite of groggy. I should never have been so cocky. 17 years old, all alone at the event. Hundreds of tents, but no friends. The night was getting cold, but I was in the zone, in an intoxicating race to outer space. Who will be the first to be really off their face? Overindulgence, substance in abundance. If only I had known the score. Too late. I was knocking the door. Too late to prevent a horrific event. I could not take it anymore. Stopped breathing and collapsed to the floor. I don't know how long I was gone. My head was filled with songs and angels flying. I knew I was dying or dead. Flashes of yellow and red and some sort of waiting room up ahead. Weightless, shapeless. Uniquely but completely at one with the universe. Engrossed in angelic verse. All earthly attachments faded. Feeling complacently jaded. I met a man. He guided me. Held my hand in the neon sea of energy. The electric limbo of life, where souls go when they're not alive. Floated through clouds of electricity, unbelievable feelings of unity. I wanted to stay, but I had no choice. Slowly then, I tuned in to the sound of a voice. Suddenly, it's a doctor's face I see, and a sign that said, emergency. I wake up with a breath of fear to shouts of a big man shouting, clear. That was the last time I did something that dumb. I do believe that drugs can be fun. In moderation. That is the key. Don't be stupid like me. And OD.
Great piece there, Dan, and thank you to Martin W. for reading this for Dan, and thank you very much to SoundCloud. Very much appreciated. All right, Pam.
Oh, yeah, that was great. Amazing SoundCloud, amazing imagery and powerful lines, an excellent write on the misadventures of youth and waking up to the harsh reality of a life almost lost to an overdose. And I like how he reminds us that, yes, in moderation, it can be a fun and enlightening experience. But there's also that point where you put not only you know, your mind in danger, but your body as well. Definitely powerful lines and a great personal experience shared that others can learn from. Very well done.
Excellent. Thank you. Dan, your buddy Martin's got a great voice. Maybe you should invite him again sometime. Have a little bit of that angle you chose to write with and how he portrayed it went across really well. And the tail was something that a lot should pay attention to. I mean, it's one thing to indulge here and there, but when you go that far, sometimes the magic is not in the blessing of waking up. It's unfortunately passing on to the other side. But sometimes the experience does teach us where we should curb our appetites at. So nicely done, and thank you very much. All right. Great show. Thanks to Aaron, Quicken, Robbie, Dan, and I think that's everybody who's on the board. And I guess we'll do it next week with John Mayall.
I'm looking forward to that.
All right. Then I guess we're going to say goodbye since there ain't nobody left here.
Yeah, right?
Nobody can hear us anyway.